Welcome to The Word in 10, a podcast from Dwell Community Church. My name is Chris Risley, and we have been spending some time reflecting on Peter's greeting to some churches in the beginning of 1 Peter. This is part 3 in a 4-part series. In part 1, we looked at living as aliens or sojourners. In part 2, we looked at living a life as God's chosen people. And so now we turn to verses 3 and 4 in this greeting, where Peter writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last times." So he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope." God gives us a living hope, not the dead hope so many people have. People without God, who have the courage to look at life honestly, don't find much hope. You look at some of the ancient writers. Sophocles, a Greek philosopher, said, "It's best not to be born at all, and the second best is to die at birth." That's cheery. Or you have Catullus, the Roman author, said, "Though the sun can set and rise again, once our brief light sets, there is but one unending night to be slept through." Bet you he was fun to have at parties. How about today? I don't know if it's still popular, but at one point everybody had the bumper sticker, "Life sucks and then you die." Or one of the more recent artists, Zucker and Cutler, their lyric to one of their songs, they say, "Life is ashes and rust, till we all turn to dust in the end." And they're in their 20s. But if we're honest, if this life is all there is, there often isn't much to it. But Peter is saying that God has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of the dead. One of the most important facts about being a Christian is that death has been defeated for us. Death is no longer something to be feared. Death for a Christian is closing your eyes in this life and opening them in the next. A famous Christian author and preacher, D.L. Moody, wrote to some of his followers as he was very sick and knew he was approaching his death. He warned them, quote, "Someday you will read in the papers that D.L. Moody of East Northfield is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. At that moment, I shall be more alive than I am now." And so Peter is trying to get their perspective on the fact that they don't have to be afraid of death because they have something to look forward to. They have heaven awaiting them. And why should we look forward to heaven? Because God has an inheritance waiting there for us. He says there's several factors about this inheritance that we should consider. One is the fact that it is imperishable. It will never die. Unlike our earthly lives, our eternal life will never end. Some great thinkers over the centuries have said that wisdom comes from contemplating death, and in one sense, that's true. Even Solomon in Ecclesiastes says it's better to spend time at funerals than at parties. And we talked in the past two sessions about knowing that we don't belong here is important to reflect on how short our time on earth is. But as much as we don't need to fear death for ourselves, that doesn't mean that death is something that we should accept. No, death is a tragic part of life in this fallen world. God is promising a time where you will never be separated from anyone ever again. That is an ultimate comfort. It is imperishable. He also says it's undefiled. It's never going to spoil. You'll read sometimes that expiration dates on food are just suggestions, but there's nothing worse than pouring that spoiled half and half into your morning coffee without realizing it and see the chunks rising up. The cream is spoiled, and in the process, it's spoiled the coffee too. Things on this earth are only good for so long, but the future awaiting us will last forever. It has no expiration date. Peter also says it will never fade away. My husband will often get flowers for me or for our daughter, and they're beautiful, but we know those bouquets are not going to last. If we're lucky, we get 2 weeks out of them, and then you just throw them away. But this inheritance will never fade. It will be just as fresh and beautiful 10,000 years from now as it will be the day I obtain it. Fourth, it's reserved in heaven for you. It will never be canceled. Another travel story for you, again due to COVID. My kids had a longer than usual Christmas break that year, so we decided to take a trip down to Florida. Some of our friends drove our camping gear down to Florida to meet up with us there. We were going to go camp in the Keys. Scott and I booked a flight for us and the kids to meet our friends down there. We were set to fly out 6 a.m. New Year's Day. We were going to get that vacation started as soon as possible. He and I went to the New Year's Eve party. We left right after midnight so we could get up in a few hours. We got home. I headed upstairs to get ready for bed. And I just have the clearest memory of Scott yelling up the stairs, "They canceled our flight." I didn't even understand the sentence at first. And so he immediately called the airline. It was one of those budget ones. And they were like, "Oh yeah, sorry, we have seats for you in 3 days," which of course was not an option for us because our friends would be waiting for us at the airport in Florida. He scrambled for over an hour and finally found seats on a flight out of Indianapolis at 9 a.m. And a friend graciously stayed up and drove us all the way out there so we could catch that flight. Now we have a couple of upcoming trips, both involving plane trips. And I tell you what, I'm going to be spending a lot of time leading up to the departure, anxiously checking the apps to make sure that our flight isn't canceled, because if it is, there's nothing we can do about it. Well, you know what? Your upcoming trip to heaven, it is reserved and it's guaranteed by God himself. In fact, that's what Peter says next. It's reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. God himself is protecting your inheritance. Have you ever seen a picture of Fort Knox, where the nation's gold reserves are kept? It's considered one of the most secure places in the whole world. God looks at all of that security, all of that protection, and he thinks, "Oh, that's cute. That's a good idea. Compared to me, that's nothing." The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the power that reserves your inheritance for you. Nothing can change the future awaiting you. And he says, we're protected by the power of God for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last times. Human history is drawing to a close. I don't know when. It sure feels like it could be soon. But Jesus is coming back. And whether it's soon or 1,000 years from now, when he comes back, everything will eventually be set right. There will be no more injustice, no more sin, no more sorrow, no more pain. God will wipe every tear from your eye. Every longing you have is a longing for heaven. And so I ask you, how much time do you spend thinking about heaven? Have you ever read any portions of Randy Alcorn's book entitled Heaven? There are many excellent books out there, but this one has had an outsized impact on my Christian life. Ever since reading that book, anytime I'm stressed out or in pain or overwhelmed, I just try to think about heaven. It doesn't fix everything, but it sure does reorient my perspective. Try it sometime. When it's appropriate, if you're with some friends, start talking about what heaven will be like. What sort of adventures do you want to go on? What places would you love to see that you probably won't get to in this life? There are things that I would love to do that I will almost certainly not do in this life. You know, I would love to hike Mount Everest, and that's just right out for me in terms of the expense, the time, and the danger. It's right out for me in this life. Maybe in the next I'll do it. I personally think the cello is one of the most beautiful instruments, but the chances of me learning to play the cello are somewhere between 0 and 1% in this life. I wish I had more time for reading, more time for travel, more time for all of my friends. I can't fit it all in this life. Peter is encouraging us to consider what the next life holds for us because our time here is so short. We can enjoy and endure this life because we have something much better waiting for us, protected by the power of God. I pray that reflecting on heaven today will give you both courage and encouragement. Thanks for joining us today. For more resources like this, visit dwellcc.org.